The things that God has really ministered to my heart is, you know, right in the middle of distress, God is there. God is there in those hard times. And I can look back at hard times in my life and almost be thankful for them. 2020, you know, looking back, I can see where hardship had its place in my life, and it's helped me to grow. And I want to talk to you this morning about distress. I want to talk to you about the hard seasons of life, because we all have them, and we need to know how to maneuver through them. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to be reading that in the King James Version this morning. And I love David, and I love the Psalms, because David would just keep it real. In one chapter, you would see him and he would be saying, oh, everything's great. Everything is fabulous. The next chapter, he'd be saying, life's terrible. It's never going to get any better. Awful things. It's just everything's terrible. God, when are you going to deliver me? God, why do you hate me? Lord, why have you put this on me? Then the next chapter, he would be like, oh, everything is great. Life is good. I've got victory. And then next chapter, oh my gosh, life sucks. It's awful. And that's just how life is. I mean, you could just be going along and everything you think is good, and then in a moment, it turns bad on you. And then it's like, if we're not careful, we're like, oh, everything's bad. Everything's awful. Life is terrible. And we have to know how to have the right perspective, because I want to tell you that God has given you a beautiful life. He has given you a beautiful life, and if you don't see it that way, then for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to try to talk you into seeing yourself in a different light. Amen, because God has given you a beautiful life, and He wants you to enjoy it. So Psalms chapter 4, verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And I want to let you know this morning that God hears you when you call out to Him. The Word of God says that you have not because you ask not. And I think that sometimes people look at their relationship with Christ like they don't have to communicate with Him because God knows everything, so why do I have to say anything? Well, let me tell you, that's just a lazy attitude. You got to communicate with God. You got to talk to Him. That's why so many times in the Word of God, He says, call unto me, call out to me, cry out to God, call on me. Because God wants to talk to you. How many of you got kids in here? I have children. I remember growing up, I used to hate this, but my parents would like to talk to me. They'd give me the living room. Let's have family time. I want to hear all about your day. And I would think, oh, I hate this family time stuff. But now I get it. Because I got kids of my own. And when they talk to me, Tyler, it makes my day. When my 12-year-old son tells me any part of his day, that makes my whole day, Penny, because I'm like, my kid talked to me and told me about his day, and I just cherish that. And I know that sounds crazy, but they get to a funny age where they don't like to talk. And they don't like to communicate with you. And I hate when they get that way, but that's a phase. It'll pass, and then you'll wish they would shut up again. But it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Is He your God this morning? Is He your God this morning? Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. So what David is saying here is when everything was going wrong, when life got hard, when it didn't look like it was going to get any better, God, at that point in life, you decided that that was the season to enlarge me right there in that season. A lot of people hate when they start struggling, and it's very uncomfortable. Nobody likes to struggle, and I get it because I don't either. But I want to tell you something about those seasons of struggle. Tough times bring about increase. I'm going to say that one more time. Tough times, not the easy seasons. Tough times bring about the increase. They do. This ministry is living proof of that. Your life is living proof of that. Your story is living proof of that. Tough times, that's what's making you. We don't like it. We hate it when we struggle. But those are the things that when you look back on your life, if it were not for those, the trial of your faith, there are some things about your character that wouldn't be set in place today. Don't despise those days where you've struggled. If you're in a tough season right now, don't be hating life. I know it's hard. Call on God. Call on Him. And understand that one thing, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. I remember going from being in the medical field for 14 years, stopping that all in a day, and going to work in the ministry full time. And that was the most shell-shocking thing for me. And I've been in ministry my whole life. I was raised in it. And when I became pastor, I heard this word, and I thought, I don't know what that even means, but we'll be over this in 2 weeks, and it was called the pandemic. I thought, the COVID is like a flu, and we will be over this. No reason to fret. Look here. At one point in time, I said, nobody in this church is even allowed to use the C word. I don't even want to hear the word COVID up in here. That's how much I despise it. But what I can tell you is this right here. God did some things. That was one of the roughest seasons of my life, was right when I first became pastor. So many things happen, but God truly enlarged me as a person, enlarged this ministry in one of the roughest times in the ministry. I remember God putting on my heart, Kelly, you need to do something to help the moms in the church, the single moms. And at that time, we had a lot of single parents in the church. And I thought, okay. And I had a little black, cute, little, really compact Tucson SUV. It was real little. And I would take it, and we'd fill that thing up, and we'd have plenty for the senior, the single people. And then it got to Tanya where we would have enough for the church family. And I was happy about that. And then I started taking the van up there, which was really scary because the thought of me driving a van was horrifying. And look, that van is anointed because I have driven it for 5 years now, and that's a miracle. And I started driving that van in the mountains to go get this food. And it got to where I could put out a little table out there. And I would just post it, and I would say, if anybody in the community wants a couple, few goodies, there's not much out there, but come get it. Well, then it got to where there were two tables. And y'all know we've got cameras out here. And I started noticing this little lady, and she would go and she would fix all the stuff on the table almost every hour on top of the hour for a couple years. Well, that lady is our Sherry. Sherry's been one of the biggest blessings to me as a pastor. I can tell you that. And we got to where different things happen, made different connections. And I thought, I think that we can distribute food a little bit to the community. Maybe not much, but we'll do something a little bit bigger. And that thing has grown so much. But let me tell you something. If y'all could have seen in my own life, Angel, if anybody could ever seen the heartache that I had to deal with when I first became the pastor, people would have thought, no human can make it through that. Let me tell you something. Your life, my life, we are living proof that God can sustain you and He can make you to be able to stand through anything that you go through. Don't you be hating your life right now if you're going through something hard, because I'm going to tell you something. God, what God has ordained for your life, there is not a demon in hell that can keep you from it. What God has set for your life, it's been set in stone from the beginning of time. There's not a demon in hell that can mess with your destiny. Amen. Don't despise those times where you're having a tough season, because that tough season, that's making you who you are. You may not like it. None of us like it. And David says right here, Lord, in the middle of it all, you enlarged me when I was in distress, when things weren't going right. God, that's when you chose. That's the season of life for me that you chose to really get in there and begin to make things bigger than what they were. Amen. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 18 and verse 6. We're going to talk about distress, and one of the major points that I want you to really get deep-seated in you today, tough times bring about the increase. They do. There is something about a tough season that makes you, it puts something inside of you that the next time you have a tough season, we're sitting here going, I can do this. There's times in life where I've said, I can't do it. Mm-mm, don't want to do it. Oh, I don't want to go through that. Don't think I can. Got on the other side of it, and I thought, I had things up inside of me I didn't even realize. They were there the whole time. Psalms chapter 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew, and he soared on the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky, and out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. God is very theatrical. God is very theatrical. I mean, can you imagine this? The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the fountains of the earth laid bare. And at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. Verse 16. Here's a promise right here. He reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. Wherever you're at in your life right now, I don't know if it's an easy season, a hard season, or maybe it's an in-between season. Maybe you're struggling with some things that you can't even talk about. But I want to read that to you again. He reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. In Jesus' name right now, if you leave here not hearing nothing else that I say, I want you to hear me right now. He will reach down, and he will take a hold of you. God loves you so much that in his word, he told you that I will never leave you. See, the first thing that the enemy is coming for is your mental health. If he can get in your thoughts, he can get into your actions. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. If the devil can get into your thoughts, he can get into your actions. If you envision yourself cussing somebody out in the grocery store, guess what? You're going to be down at Harps and you'll be cussing them out by noon. Now, why do I preach about this? Because I've had people do it. They'd call me up, Pastor Kelly, I really did a number 10. I cussed Sally Sue out finally. How did I do that, Pastor? Well, let me tell you, you rehearsed that in your brain. And the devil got up in there, and sometimes I wouldn't even give the devil that credit, because sometimes we do that stuff all up on our own. And we started rehearsing that cussing out we were going to give her, and then we finally did it. That's how stuff happens. You ever notice how you start envisioning something, and then before you know it, there you are doing it? Whether that's good or bad, you can do the same thing and make it for good. But nonetheless, that's how it is. God will take a hold of you. says, look here, God of everything, he reached down and he took a hold of me. That's how much he loves you. He reached down and he took a hold of the addiction. He reached down and he took a hold of the depression. He reached down and he took a hold of the infirmity. He reached down and he took a hold of the poverty. He reached down and he took a hold of the anxiety. See, there's some things that if you'd say, Daddy God, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now to come down here, Lord, and take a hold of some of these things for me. He's right there. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Ask God. Ask God. Ask Him. He drew me out of deep waters. Are you drowning this morning? Are you in the middle of something that you feel like is going to last forever? Look here. No storm is going to last forever for you. It is not lasting forever. The devil wants to get you to believe in it is, but it's not. It ain't lasting forever. God already has the way out. He's already got you on the path to getting you on the other side of that thing. You cannot afford the luxury of the negative thinking that you've been doing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If the world was spoken into existence by the very words of God, you need to imitate Christ and you need to begin to speak positivity over your life. If you're telling yourself, this ain't getting no better, guess what, honey? It ain't going to get no better. If you're telling yourself, I'm not going to live by my circumstances, I'm going to walk by faith today, and in the name of Jesus, this is getting better, guess what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the problem with the believer is many times our heart is full of junk. And we haven't had a heart check. And that's why our lives get all upheavaled, because we got some nasty things growing up in there. And we don't find it out till we go through some difficult times. And we're like, oh my God, I didn't know I had that meanness up in me. You need to figure out what's going on in there before you get to that tough time. He drew me out of deep waters, verse 17. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. Let me tell you something. I don't care how powerful your enemies are. And your enemies don't have to just be people. If you have a problem with doubt and unbelief, that's an enemy of yours. If you have a problem and every time you turn around you find yourself in the middle of strife, that's a problem and that's an enemy of yours. If you keep finding yourself in the middle of feeling like you're no good, that's an enemy of yours. You got to see what the devil's trying to do with your life and see that, you know what, that thing right there, that's my enemy. I'm not going to just say, well, it's always been this way and I'm going to just live with it. No. I'm not going to tolerate that in my life anymore. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Verse 18, they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. But the Lord was my support. And I want to really hone in on one thought that I've been having continually all week long. There are going to be times in your life where it's going to be you and it's going to be God and that's it. And you're going to feel lonely. Guess what? Good. Because something about a good little season of you feeling lonely make you rely on the one person that's not going to let you down. And that's God. See, God ain't going to let you down. And people don't really want to let you down either, but they're just people and they're going to let you down. And when they do that, you're going to have to cut them a break. I'm going to read that part one more time. But the Lord was my support. But God was my support. Too many times we're right in the middle of a battle and we're sitting there and we're looking at people like they're going to really do a miracle for us. And those people, and look here, you can't rely on people to do God's job. Let me say that one more time. You can't rely on people to do God's job. And you can't be mad at them when they can't. I'm going to say it one more time. You cannot be mad at people when you figure out that they can't do what only God can do for you. There's been too many times believers have gotten all upset because somebody else that they love has let them down because they couldn't hold up to what they thought they were supposed to be. Let me tell you something. We're all down here. We're all trying to make it. Don't you get yourself all offended when somebody lets you down or when something don't quite go your way. Let me tell you, it ain't going to always go your way. It don't always go my way. But God is your support. God is your support. You don't always need 10 friends in the back giving you their dumb life advice. Just let me tell you, most of it's ridiculous. You need one still small voice of truth flowing through your life saying, this is the way to go, now walk in it. That's what you need. When you get up in the middle of a tough season, stop looking to the left, don't look to the right. Your support's coming from God. Your support is coming from God.
Amen.
It's coming from God entirely, 100%. He brought me out into a spacious place. He brought me out into a spacious place. I want to talk to you a moment about change. He brought me out into a spacious place. Sometimes you've outgrown where you're at in your life. Sometimes you've outgrown where you're at in your life. And God will take you. And it's uncomfortable, but He will take you and He will put you in a spacious place where you got plenty of room to grow. Don't get mad at God when He makes changes in your life. Don't get mad at God when He makes changes in your life. I always thought I'll be in the ministry, I'll pastor one day, but it's not going to be for a long time. And when God called me to that, when I was 33 years old, I was so mad. I was ticked. I was ticked. Don't get mad when God makes changes in your life. Whatever God brings you to, He has the anointing and the ability, the stability, and everything else that you need for you to be that, what you need to be in that time. And here's what I can tell you. When it mattered the most, here's what I know in my own life, and I can't preach out of anybody's life but mine. But Miss Mary, when it mattered most, God was always my support. When people said, I've got your back, Pastor, and they did. They stabbed me in the back. God was the support then. He's the support now. I used to sit there and things would happen, and I would think, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Oh, God. Here's what I tell God now. Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix that, but I know you are. I'm no genius, God, and you know that, but I don't know how you're going to work this one out, but thank God I don't have to do your job. You don't got to know everything that God's going to do. Some of us, we'll drive ourselves crazy thinking about the next month or two, and we're like, oh my God, how is He going to work this out? And you'll sit there and get an ulcer just over thinking about what you know you can't even control. You don't have to know it all. I remember standing right there at that door, 9 months pregnant with Carson Paul, fixing to have him, crying. That was back when Daddy was the pastor, and he said, Kelly, I can't have you at the door greeting people crying. It's a really bad look for us in the church. They're all wondering what I did to the poor pregnant girl that's crying as she's greeting people. What is the problem? And I had all my weight in my belly. I mean, it was all there. I said, I'm about to quit my job, make some really bad adulting mistakes, because I don't know who's going to watch Carson Paul, but we went and visited the daycare that we had him signed up for, and that ain't happening. All right, no way. Children are supposed to be in that place, and I ain't doing that. But I don't know who's going to watch him, and I just started crying, crying, crying. And he goes, Kelly, you don't know yet because it's not time for you to know. Because it's not time for you to know. Now, all y'all are distracted. Look here. Get yourself back to full attention because God's trying to tell you something. I'm going to go over that. A miracle's happened because, Johnny, I didn't chase that squirrel. I kept the nut right here. I got it. It's a miracle. There's things that you could drive yourself crazy about because you don't know how they're going to work out yet. Stop. Stop that. When it's time, God will just put it right in line for you. Stop having bad days over what you cannot control. Stop having bad days over what you do not know. Stop having those bad days about what you cannot understand. The Bible tells us about these things. He says, my ways are so much higher than your ways, and my thoughts, they're higher than your thoughts. So when you can't think about how God's going to work it out, stop. Because you can never imagine the good things that he's going to do to work that situation out for your life. He brought me out into a spacious place. God has a spacious place for your life. There's plenty of room to grow there. There's plenty of room for you to be the person that he intended for you to be. Sometimes we close ourselves in. And God's saying, I don't want that person closed in. I want them out. And he makes changes to our lives. Don't get mad at God when he makes changes in your life. Those changes are necessary. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Are you a person that God delights in? Can God delight in you? And I want you to think about that. Every person needs to do what I call self-reflection, and you need to do it on a regular basis because a lot of people have no self-awareness. It's because they never look at their own life and judge their own life because they're too busy all doing that for everybody else. Look here, we all have enough things to keep us busy with just ourselves. We all have enough things to keep us busy with just ourselves. Self-reflect. Self-reflect. Can God delight in me? Have I been doing some things that's causing this distress in my life? See, some things that you go through, you didn't cause them, you didn't ask for them, but they came about. Some things happen because of choices. And you got to know what the case is for your life. Because if it's something that you caused, God can help you correct it. And he'll show you how. He'll give you instruction on how to do it. If it's something that you didn't create and you find yourself in the middle of a battle that you did not create, God will walk you through it. And he will give you all the grace and anointing that you need to move through that situation. But can he delight in you? Let's go to Psalms chapter 149, verse 4. And say, well, I thought God delights in everybody. Well, he does to a degree. How many of you got multiple children in here? You're going to know what I'm fixing to say. Now, I don't have favorites. Frank's like, yes, you do. I don't feel that I do, but I have two boys. At this season of life, one of them is just a little bit more pleasant to be around. Do y'all have children like that, or is it just me? Because I need to know if my life is going to get a little bit better. Because that other one scares me. That child, I mean, God's using him to help me to learn how to pray more diligently. But I delight in both of my children. I delight in both of them. But there's times, and we know, there's times where we're being a little pill in life, and we're saying, well, God will understand. Yeah, God's going to understand. He's going to understand you're being a jerk and you need to quit. That's what he's going to understand. Coco, let me tell you, this kid, what's your name again?
Matthew.
I have got what I am certain is the sweetest 8-year-old that has ever walked the planet. That kid took him over to eat at the Senior Center fundraiser last week. I don't even know how you get kids like this, but here's what I know. Carson Paul is an amazing person, and I don't know what he's going to do, but that kid's a genius. He's way smarter than me, and that's why I try not to get into these little debates with him, because he can out-argue me to the ground. And that's the one I really have to pray over. Now, Coco, that kid, I'm certain, came literally right from the pearly gates of heaven down to me. Because he is a doll. He ate his spaghetti the other day at the senior center, and he looked around and he goes, Mama, so affectionate and just sweet. Mama, hey, do you think that there's anybody in this senior center that I can pray for? Mama, do you think that anybody in here, do any of these people, do any of them, Mama, need any prayer? Because I want to pray for everybody in this place that needs prayer. I'm like, oh my God. God, make me like him. How did I get him? I'm not sure, God. I said, Coco, I am positive that these people in this building need prayer. And if you will go around and you will begin to ask them what they need you to pray about, they will let you pray.
Hallelujah.
Most kids be like, I don't want to do that. That ain't cool. Or I'm too bashful or whatever. Not this kid. He went around to him, pecked him on the shoulder. What do we need to pray about? And then he would take them by the hands with his little chubby hands, and he would just go to town praying for them. I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell me bringing your kids to church is a waste of time. When I was pregnant with him, I was in the middle of a depression that I didn't know if I was ever going to get out. And I felt so guilty for being pregnant with this sweet baby, feeling the way that I felt, Angel. And I prayed and I said, God, I want you to honor this baby. Because he's had to put up with me for 9 months, and I've been in a depression over some things in my life that I wasn't expecting. And let me tell you something, that kid, God has honored his life. I got a phone call Sunday afternoon from this little lady from the senior center, and she said, are you the mama of that boy that prayed for me? And I said, yeah. Everything all right? She goes, that has just made my whole day. I'm going to tell you something. When you get into some hard times in your life, don't be hating life. Don't be hating life. That hard time is going to help you in your life. You may hate it, but it's going to do some good for you. Don't hate any season of the life that you're in. You may be going through something really hard today. I don't know. But God's right there. He hasn't moved. What does God delight in? For the Lord takes delight, Psalms 149 and verse 4, for the Lord takes delight in His people. For the Lord takes delight in His people. Are you His this morning? Are you His this morning? Are you His this morning? I'm not talking about when you get in a bind and you're going to pray to see if that'll work. Because if that's all you do, you ain't His. I have to be honest. I'd be a bad pastor if I didn't just give you that disclosure. Are you His? Are you His? I'm not saying are you perfect, because He knows you cannot be. But are you His? Are you His? Because He takes delight in His people, and He crowns the humble with salvation. Don't let a hard season make you arrogant. Don't let a hard season make you arrogant. Stay humble. Stay humble. Here's what this looks like. A lot of times when people are going through something, they'll just hate everybody. Oh, just hate people. Just hate everybody. If you're going through a divorce, oh, I just hate all men. They're all awful. Oh, women are just terrible. They're all the same.
Glory to God.
I've been there. Let me tell you something. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Keep your humility. Don't have a bad attitude over one bad experience with something. You're getting through
Hallelujah. To
the other side. Let's go to Psalms 147, verse 11. We're still talking about what God delights in. Psalm 147 and verse 11, the Lord delights in those who fear Him. Who fear Him. A lot of pastors won't talk about fearing God because we don't want people to be afraid of God. And I don't want y'all to be horrified of God, but you need a healthy fear of God. You need to know if you do something terrible to somebody, you're going to reap what you sow. That's called having a healthy fear of God. There are certain things that I'd like to do, but I don't do because I have a healthy fear of God. There are, for instance, people I'd like to just tell them off and be like a normal person and just be able to tell them plumb smooth off. I have Puerto Rican Italian blood running through these veins, and don't tell me that ain't something to be a force to be reckoned with, because I try to keep it in check every day of my life. And here's what I know, Bobby. God called me to be a pastor. So I have lost the luxury of just telling people plumb smooth off whenever I feel like it. Now, am I saying that I'm never going to tell another person off? No, I'm not going to make that promise because I don't know if I can keep it. But here's what I know. When I do, God will deal with me. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Because here's the problem with today's society. Today, people read the Bible, and I want you to read your Bible, but here's what they do. They have a way of making the Bible say whatever the heck it is that they're wanting to get away with. And that don't work. Why doesn't it work? Because in His Word, He says, I will not be mocked. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Do you know that when you're sinning and you're doing that willingly and you know that you're doing wrong, do you know that God's going to have to do something? My kid, a couple days ago, he got detention. I was raised where if you caused your teacher grief, you were getting your butt whipped when you got home. You can't even hardly whip a kid anymore for them wanting to take your kid away. I was in Walmart the other day, and this lady was whooping the fire out of her kid. She said, "I'm sorry, but this is what this kid needs." And I said, "You know what? You're not getting no flack off of me. Whip that child off. Look here. You're probably helping him not be the next criminal." I told Carson, I said, "Here's what you're going to do, son. You're going to write that teacher a letter, and you're going to tell her how ridiculous your behavior was and how you're never going to do it again." "Oh, I don't want to do that. Nobody else's mom would make them do that." I don't have any kids but you and your brother. I'm not everybody else's mama. And I said this, if I ever hear again that you got detention and you didn't tell me, you're in twice as much trouble, because this is called accountability. And when if something happens at school and I have to find it out any other way besides you telling me, you're in twice as much trouble. It's going to be full disclosure. What happens at school, I want to be the first one to know about it when you get in that car. And if you're with your daddy, you have him call me, because I'm going to know. Guess what he has? A very healthy fear of mama. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've got all my parenting skills together, because I don't. But here's what I know. I will make good on that promise that I made to him. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Because, see, God delights in people that have that healthy fear of him. God never wants you to be afraid of him. God's not going to come and whack you upside the head and all these things that all these people want to make God out to be a child abuser. He's not. But if God has to deal with you, he will deal with you. No correction is pleasant at the time. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Your hope doesn't need to be anywhere else but God. Oh, I hope the stock market don't crash. I don't have any expectation of the stock market, nor do I have any stock to be concerned about. But look here, I'm not hoping anything about it, because let me tell you something. It goes up one day and down the next. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. See, here's the things that God doesn't like. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, but be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Sometimes when we get in the middle of a storm, we're sitting here, and this is what little kids do. We'll be in the middle of something, and we'll say, "Well, God, what about so-and-so? Look what they did." You don't need to be concerned about anybody but yourself. You've got enough things to do just with yourself. When God's bringing you through something, when you're going through a hard time, don't be sitting there saying, "Well, God, what about so-and-so and so-and-so?" I remember when I wanted to have a baby and I was having trouble. I was telling God, "Look, God, look at all these people that aren't doing the right thing, and you've given them children, and I'm here, and I'm trying to do the best I can do, and I haven't been able to have a baby. And I thought I was really getting somewhere with God. Look here, I wasn't getting nowhere with God. Why? Because it was out of season for that thing. If God would have given me kids 1 second earlier, it wouldn't have been good. He knows when you're ready for what you're asking Him for. He knows exactly what He's doing in your life. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, and be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. There it is again. Verse 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with Him. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with Him. We put too much stock in what everybody else is doing. Well, Lord, I can't do this because this person hates my guts, and if I do, you know, I can't go apply there because so-and-so works there. Stop worrying about all these other people and just do what God told you to do. I can't tell you how many times in a small community people have said, I'd love to come to church there, Pastor Kelly, but I heard so-and-so goes there, and I ain't going to sit under the same roof as so-and-so. Well, let me tell you something, little darling. Do you like redundancy? Because you're going to keep going around in that same circle till you get over yourself. Because let me tell you something. In heaven, God ain't separating people. Besides the righteous and the unrighteous. There was somebody like 15 years ago, and I could not stand this person. It was one of my exes. All my exes did not live in Texas, unfortunately. Got you there. I didn't like this person. Because, oh, they did me so wrong. That's like what we like to tell God. Well, this person did me wrong, and so I get to be a hellfire and damnation towards them. No, you don't. Well, I looked out the window one day, and as God is my witness, He moved them behind me for like 7 years. Hallelujah. 7 years. We were neighbors and shared the line of property.
Hallelujah.
God said, now, Kelly, you're going to get this right down here on earth, because you get up there, that stuff ain't going to fly. When I tell you God will deal with you, God will deal with you. And He'll help you to grow past some things. Don't be afraid to go through those rough seasons. They're helping you. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I think that's a really important detail in the scripture. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. One of the key things about going through a difficult time, if you can train yourself to do this, when you get out of that difficult season, people are going to ask you, how did you get through that? A lot of people like to take the credit for what God does. If you will learn to put all the glory onto God and all the credit onto God, your life will have a certain different type of favor that most people don't have. People ask all the time, how do you do everything that you do? My answer is very simple. I don't. He does. How many of you have ever heard me say that? Somebody's tried to take credit for something that goes on in this church. That wasn't me. I cannot take credit for that. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Let me tell you something. Difficult seasons will come. I believe that our community is in a difficult season. It seems like in just a matter of a few weeks that so much sadness has come. There's people that are going to have to just right off the bat go through these holidays without their family. And I want to read you something. And I'm going to close with this. How many of you know that song, It Is Well With My Soul? I'm going to read to you how that song came to be about. And just put that just a little bit lower, bub. So the man who wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, his name was Horatio Spafford. And it says, life can be so unpredictable. Joys and sorrows, beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties can come unexpectedly. And our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. We all know that this is so true. So how can we find peace in a world full of trouble? Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Turn that down just a smidge. Around the same time, his beloved 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. So we have this very successful person. He lost a fortune in a catastrophe, and then his son dies. Thinking a vacation would do his family some good, he sent his wife and 4 daughters on a ship to England, planning to join them after he had finished some business. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and it sank, and more than 200 people lost their lives, including his 4 daughters. So his business, chaos in the business, loses his baby to scarlet fever, sends his wife and his other 4 children to go to try to get away from it all. The ship sinks, and he loses 4 more children. Well, his wife, Anna, survived the tragedy. And upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began like this. Saved alone, what shall I do? And she was telling her husband, it's just me. The rest of our children, they've just been killed. Horatio immediately set sail for England. And at the one point in his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of what he had been through and aware of what his family had been through, summoned Horatio. Horatio came out to where he was, and the captain said, this is the place right here. This right here is the place where that ship with your family sank and the rest of your children were killed. Now look here, when you get in these moments in your life and you've got a decision to make, which way am I going to go? See, the Word of God, it talks about decisions and it tells us, you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? And sometimes we choose a curse just because we're making decisions out of emotion. You can't afford to make decisions out of emotion because you'll make the wrong one. Melissa, in that moment, he pulled out his pen and he began to write this song. And I'm going to begin to read it to you because, see, we need to understand that when it's time to get ready for battle and we're going through a hard season, it's not time to turn away from God. It's time to turn to God. And he began to write, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot," see, whatever's come up in my life, whatever it is, good or bad, whatever that thing is, whatever the lot that I've been dealt in life, here's what I'm going to do about it. "Thou hast taught me to know." See, are you one of these Christians that after 30 years, you're still blaming God and laying up out of church for things that God did not do? God gets blamed for stuff that, see, he never did. "God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." See, what comes your way, God has done given you the anointing and the grace to get past it, to move on. I'm not saying it's not gut-wrenching. I'm not saying it's not painful. I'm not saying that depression at times is not there with the lot that you've been given, because it is. But look here, God is still God on those days, and you are still his kid. And I want you to leave here today knowing that the thing that you need to do is begin to train your spirit to say in all seasons of life, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Why do you think in the Psalms David says, "He restores my soul. He leads me beside paths of righteousness"? Look here, "for his name's sake. Whatever my lot, I have taught myself to say, it is well with my soul." If you are going through something today, I'm going to ask you to get yourself in the right frame of mind, because God has equipped you to go through what you're going through. He has equipped you. He's already got it worked out for you. He says, "I've done prepared the way. I want you to walk through it. Let us get to the other side of it." Are you struggling with something today and you're having trouble saying it's well? If you're having trouble saying it's well, I want you to stand, because see, you've got to get to that point where you can say, "It's well with my soul. Lord, it don't look good right now, but you've taught me to say it's well. It's well." Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You need to hear yourself say, "It's well. It's well. This is turning around. It's well. It don't look good, but it don't matter what it looks like. It's well. It's well." I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands and not pay attention to that cell phone. It's all right, Russell. Mine goes off sometimes too. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person standing. God, I ask that you would give us that peace and that blessed assurance right now. Lord, I say in the name of Jesus, it is well. It is well. Y'all begin to say it with me. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. God, in Jesus' name, help us to say it's well with my soul. God, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over Barbara Young. Lord, I ask that you would honor that vow that we made to her many years ago, saying that she could live in that home till the day that she died. And God, I ask right now that you would preserve her life. God, the best years are yet to come for her. And so right now, I speak life into that body. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we love you this morning. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath.
Amen.
And God loves you.
Amen.
He cares about what you're going through. Tonight we're going to have a beautiful service. The girls are going to sing specials. We'll need the sound people here. We're going to do specials and testimonies. I love when the girls sing. I love when all the people sing. If you want to sing a special, you need to be here at 5 o'clock to tell the sound booth. Now, Frank Cunningham, I'm going to give you a head start because you're one man. We've got a couple options for you. We're going to give every household a turkey. Now, let's say you're just one person and maybe you're just a couple people and you don't need a whole turkey.